bazunguzukaneni.
Kuja nami tuungane twache kuzozana. Watu wa upendo hauna dui, hauna kifani kaka.
Taka pata na zavade. Shino narudo kubatana kutitibu dirire.
Twaitaji upendo ili tusonge mbeleo.
Kutambura kwedu zichida hati narudo.
Ukosefu wa upendo lete dhiki ya jaya.
Morning, welcome to the G spot, the good spot, the God spot, the gram spot, where all the G's meet. So once again, we're glad to meet. It's a long week. It's been such a busy week, everyone. I hope mekuwa poa. Been having ups and downs, we've been here and there. But we are grateful that God has got us to this point of the week where we can gladly say that, you know, it's been a successful week nonetheless. So before we start today's episode, there are a few things I'd like to do. What do we call it? They call it housekeeping. So we do have our website. The website is it's actually on all our social media platforms. You can easily access it from there. It's quite interactive. It's simply done. It's something I've been working on for some time, but well, for the purpose of engagement, it serves the purpose. Yeah, for the purposes of engagement, it does serve the purpose. That's what I mean basically. It's a really good platform. I hope you guys can interact with me on that website. Yeah, basically it's just there so that you guys can get in touch with me as much as you can. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about something I've been thinking about a lot, something I've been noticing happening a lot in my life, in the lives of people that are really close to me, and that is social media addiction. So I came to realize that most of us have become so absorbed into social media that you rarely walk into a bus and you don't find everyone on their phones, either on Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, Tinder. There are so many social media platforms people can easily access through this era of smartphones, that is. So I thought, are we as a people getting addicted to social media? Is social media actually becoming a problem? And I did some research and I came across this blog that really intrigued me, and I thought we're gonna talk about this via the knowledge I acquired over this very interesting blog. So the question was, what exactly is social media addiction? When I say social media addiction, what do I mean by that? Well, what is that definition? And what does it entail as a concept, basically? I came to realize that social media addiction is a behavioral condition. Very interesting. It's a behavioral condition that compels a person to become engrossed on social media. A social media addict will definitely devote a significant amount of time and energy to check their social network sites, and also engage with users on the platforms. I don't know if it's me, or you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the era of TikTok is something that we really need to talk about and address as a society, because people are really, really into this thing. You just do a random survey. You see someone using their phone, chances are, highest chances are, people have moved away from using platforms like Facebook and Instagram. Crazy. People are not on such platforms as much as they used to. We've become our dopamine receptors have become highly tailored to visual concepts where you see something and you swipe, you keep scrolling, you keep scrolling. I don't know, that's a thing I came to realize. And we have to talk about this issue because problematic social media use is something that is characterized by the inability to reduce or stop online media consumption despite of the negative outcomes or the serious downsides. It's a point whereby you can't stop using social media excessively despite of the negative side of your usage of these platforms. So I thought, what are some of the signs and symptoms of someone who is becoming a social media addict, or what are the signs of this addiction? Because this addiction it messes with the brain the same way that someone who's on porn functions. Like that's the same way social media addiction works in the human brain. So several signs indicate that someone may have an addiction to social media, but the most common are the ones I'm going to talk about below. So the first one is it's basically lying about the amount of time you're spending online. You see, when someone is suffering from social media addiction, they're usually so embarrassed about it because deep down that I am excessively consuming this content that I'm consuming and I'm spending so much time on social media and I feel embarrassed. So when someone, maybe your loved one, asks you, "Hey, how come you've been spending so much time on your phone lately?" you will never say the truth. At this point, you'll be compelled to lie and say, I've been doing this and this and that. But in real sense, that you're lying. You're addicted to your social media apps. You're there all day long browsing through the internet, looking at funny clips and smiling and giggling like a baby. But you know deep down that, this is too much. Another indicator is relying too much on social media as a coping mechanism to social issues and problems that you are facing, things like boredom, social anxiety, stress, and loneliness. The guys who feel like when they are lonely, they need to be close to their phones. Those guys who feel like whenever they are anxious, their phone is the first thing that they'll have holding in their hands so that they feel a bit more relaxed. When they feel bored, they feel like the only thing that can bring entertainment the way they want is social media or their phones. Basically, it's your phone, because when you are on your phone, you are browsing on a certain platform. Another indicator is feeling restless when you are unable to check your social media. This is something that at some point in my life I actually struggled with. Whenever I didn't have my phone nearby or it was charging, I'd feel so uncomfortable. I feel like, I really need my phone by my side because, I need to check this and this. I need to go through Twitter for just a few minutes. You understand me? So individuals who struggle with social media addictions may become very restless or troubled when they are unable to use their phones or social media. A person may be aware of the negative feelings that they are unable to access social media. You feel me? But it's something that you need to control, because this feeling of restlessness is actually a symptom, or is as a result of your excessive reliance on this platform that you're used to. Another symptom is neglecting schoolwork or work-related responsibilities. So, as social media continues to consume a lot of your time, a big chunk of your time and your energy, school and work-related responsibilities may become neglected. You realize that you're not doing things the way you used to do because you are constantly on your phone. You can't study even, you can't read a book because, a book isn't going to give you the same dopamine effect that your social media platforms give you. Another symptom is withdrawing from friends and family. This is something I actually observed at home. When my brother was getting into his early adolescence, he was given a phone. And I think at that time, there's this feeling of wanting to be online all the time, of chatting with your friends and stuff. So I realized that this guy was slowly withdrawing from us. He wasn't with us most of the time. He preferred to be alone. He'd just be on his phone. He'd be on TikTok, yeah? He'd be on Instagram looking at photos and stuff. So I came to actually evaluate that this guy is slowly becoming addicted to their phone. Because whenever whenever his phone ran out of charge, it would be a big problem in the house. This guy would be screaming, "Hey, wapi charge," you know, that kind of thing. He's so restless, he's just throwing tantrums around so that he just can find a charger, so that the phone just doesn't go off. You are secure and plugged from whatever he's consuming. So personal relationships may suffer as social media addiction and addicts basically prefer to spend so much time in this virtual world. It's a virtual reality, right? A person may withdraw from family and friends since they develop difficulty staying in the moment, as one's full attention is usually given to social media. So the next question we're going to ask ourselves is, what really causes social media addiction? We've seen the symptoms. So what really causes social media addiction? So the most common causes of social media addiction are things like the fact that, number one, social media has this addictiveness. We're going to talk about the effect of social media on the human brain after this. But first, let's look at what makes it really addictive. It's the fact that it has this addictiveness. The addictive potential of social media can be largely attributed to the novelty that different social media sites offer. So social networking apps come up with new ideas of having people as returning visitors to the platform all the time. This is the whole marketing strategy of these applications, is to keep you hooked, to keep you there, to make individuals more vulnerable to compulsive overconsumption of online media. As in, the whole idea of this platform is to keep you scrolling, is to keep you smiling, is to keep your eyes there all the time. So it has an addictive nature. That addictive nature is the first reason, and the one that I highlighted mostly, that actually leads to this addictive, the addictiveness of these platforms. Number two is the fact that is stress and self-esteem. So you'll ask yourself, how? Social media allows the users to selectively showcase life by only selecting the finest of moments. This is a thing, especially with Instagram. Personally, I'm not a big fan of Instagram, and I'm not actually saying that it's a really bad application or something, but I don't think the fact that it allows you to only post the good moments and not the bad moments makes it a very relevant application, because you become selective. It can give this false impression that people have to keep up and to try harder live a more desirable life, especially if you're following these guys who are making it out here, and then there's you, life in a kubitka shit, like you're struggling here, and then you're just scrolling through your friends' social media, and you're like, hey, this nigga is doing well, but this is just a side of his life that he's showing. It's not the actual way things are going for him. So this can cause stress, and it can lower the self-esteem of an individual by putting unnecessary pressure on oneself to do better in life. You know, life is progressive. It's something we move day a day at a time. It's like walking up the stairs, you get. But at times, you take a step back. There are days that are actually so bad, but if you go through Instagram, you'll never find anyone who posts their bad days or pictures that they're looking bad. No. It's always the good days. So if you're scrolling through someone's Instagram, you'll be under so much pressure thinking this guy is living so well, but in real sense, they're going through stuff. So there's so much stress and self-esteem and inakuwa taken away from the person who's consuming this information. Another thing is social anxiety. An inability to establish and maintain real-life relationship can make a person to turn to social media, because connections can become easy, they are easy to make. This is one thing that affects mostly teenagers. You know, when you're going through your teenage, you're usually struggling with things like self-esteem, social anxiety. Yeah, you're breaking your voice. You feel like, nah, I can't talk to a girl right now. Or a girl is just, you know, going through that phase of discovering herself as a woman. She doesn't feel comfortable to talk to people face-to-face, right? But behind the screen, people have so much confidence. People can say anything they want. People can be whoever they want. So the fact that people have developed social anxiety, it becomes easier. It makes social media addictive, because now you can hide behind the screen and be whoever you want. You can talk to anyone however you want, because there are no repercussions, right? Someone who suffers from social anxiety may definitely prefer to spend so much time in the virtual world, as engaging does not require so much real life interaction. It steals away that real life interaction that we really need and want as a society. So the question is, why is social media so addictive, right? And how does it affect the brain generally? This is one thing I really wanted to talk about. Social media is addictive because it has a significant effect on the brain, and a mechanism also seen in substance use disorders and also consumption of things like pornography. It has the same effect. Like someone who is on alcohol is basically the same one who is, the brain behaves the same way as someone who is becoming addicted to social media. It's the same thing. Social media affects human psychology by activating the reward centers of the brain. Dopamine release, it triggers that. So the process is going to create a pleasurable feeling that can boost your mood. When you're checking your social media, you feel so happy when you're scrolling your phone, you know, you're replying to stuff. And a good example is a person with an Instagram addiction can get a feeling of pleasure in the form of likes and comments when sharing a piece of content. There are people who get so affected when their photos don't like get a certain number of likes. When someone says something below the photo they have posted, it affects them so much, positively and negatively. You get the people who get satisfaction by getting so many likes, like they're like, hey, Leon, I'm a part of 50 likes and I'm so happy. You see, like it's a reward, it's affecting the reward system in your head. So the reward circulatory puts individuals at risk of compulsive behavior around social media. When a person re-encounters a trigger associated with pleasurable feelings, that person is more likely to engage once more in the addictive behavior. So they become unable to resist the thought of missing something important online. This is the fear of missing out. This is just a thing that I've seen so many people go through. So our next thing is, actually, let's see, how does social media affect the brain? So social media affects the brain by activating its reward circulatory system and releasing dopamine in the process. Dopamine is the reward hormone that is in the brain. Whenever you feel accomplished, whenever you do something and it is a success, like after I'm done with this episode and I click publish, I finish everything, there's so much dopamine that's going to be released in my head. I'm going to be so happy because I've accomplished. Now that is my mind giving me that reward hormone. You get? So it's the same thing. You've got 50 likes, you are targeting 20. Ah, you feel good, you know? So you're definitely going to come back. And dopamine is what keeps us moving in a positive or negative direction, depending on how we are directing it. If you are using your dopamine to reward yourself positively, doing something constructive, then you'll be on that path for a very long time. And if you're using it negatively, either you are consuming pornography, ukimaliza, you're jacking off, you know, dopamine is released in the process. It's the same thing. So dopamine is a neurotransmitter that creates a feeling of pleasure and want. Being on social media increases dopamine signals in the brain. So the brain identifies social media use as a rewarding experience that a person does for survival. Therefore, the need to be repeated over and over again. So this mechanism of action may explain why social media is so addictive to some people. Not all people, but to some people. So rewards on social media come in the form of positive feedback from other users mostly, right? Or at times by the fact that it's going to make you feel happy. You watch a funny clip for 30 seconds and you're like, mulamu amenimaliza leo. So you're smiling like a baby over there. You're giggling and stuff. So you scroll again, you find another funny video. Then it activates that reward hormone, giving you that feeling of pleasure every time you see it. You feel me? So rewards on social media, as you said, it comes in the form of positive feedback. And at times, there are those different scenarios I've said. There are people who, whenever they get so many likes, they feel rewarded. Since these rewards increase the secretion of that feel-good hormone dopamine, people tend to look forward to positive feelings and will constantly check social media as a result. So this is one thing that I've seen. And you find like, a lady, for example, she's posting so many photos of herself, and the goal is someone is going to give her that attention. Is gonna tell her, you look great. Whenever she's told like that, or a guy is told, wow, I like your outfit, that reward hormone is secreted at once. It runs through your brain, and you're like, Hey, I feel good because this person has given me a positive feedback. So you continue doing whatever you're doing. That's how you develop addiction slowly by slowly, because you become reliant on that feel good hormone being released as a result of you being on that account that you're accessing or that platform. So that is how social media affects the brain. The fact that it's going to direct your neurotransmitters to secrete that feel good hormone as you are on the platform. So what are some of the types of social media addictions that people develop? So people may develop an addiction to certain activities that they are carrying out on social media, right? And I identify five of them that I described as addiction based on the platform. Number one is basically Facebook addiction. This is a thing that maybe for our generation, the guys are in their 20s, we struggled with in high school back when we were in our teens. But now this new age of guys who are in the teenage, they are probably struggling with things like TikTok and Instagram. So it's a different phase depending on the generation, right? So Facebook addiction, it's usually described as excessive and compulsive use of Facebook to boost one's mood despite of the negative consequences, right? So it's basically being addicted to Facebook. That's the first thing. That's like the first addiction, Facebook addiction. You have to post a photo, you get likes, you get people telling you you look good, you reply, you feel good because dopamine is being released. Eh? The positive feedback is just the thing that keeps you going. Number two is something I identified as nomophobia. So it's a shortened form of no mobile phone phobia. Nomophobia. No mobile phone phobia. This is another addiction. It describes a condition in which people develop fear and anxiety when left without a phone or without a mobile device. So it's a point whereby you become so addicted that having an uncharged phone or being without cellular service can cause panic attacks in some people who suffer from this disorder. This is a thing, and you find someone has run out of bundles for us Kenyans, that is, for us to access cellular services, for us to be connected to the big internet, the big data, that is, you have to have a certain number of bundles so that you access it. So you realize when someone has run out of cellular service, they become so panic-stricken. I'm like, they're like, wah, nimeshiwa bundles, and then this person has a panic attack, I need to buy it. You see, that kind of scenario. Oh, my phone is about to die. Like, you get so uncomfortable. You get so... You get to this point and you're basically so unstable because of that. The fact that you... Like, no mobile phobia. You are scared that you don't have your phone. So that's another form of addiction of social media. The other one is instant messaging. So this is the compulsive need for online interactions through instant messaging services, including things like Facebook and WhatsApp Messenger. So the disorder, it basically involves a preoccupation with instant messaging and may cause a person to check their phone from time to time to see new messages or texts. So this is a scenario whereby you find yourself, you're constantly on your phone texting. You just want someone to talk to you. You know, you want a message. These are people who are like, why don't you reply to my messages these days? I mean, yes, it's okay. But I can't be always on my phone replying to your messages because I have things I need to do in my life. But if you are becoming an addict of instant messaging, it becomes a problem whereby you are always online and you are always texting someone and expecting a reply always, like most of the time. So it affects your brain. Affects your behavior because this is an addiction. It's not normal. Another form of social media addiction is microblogging. It refers to excessive use of microblogs. Microblogs are things like Twitter, especially, is a form of microblog. It's just a small blog you can easily go through. There's an app, especially for the boys. It's called Football. It has so many microblogs. There are so many blogs you can just go through and quickly access. You know. So microblogs, it's a form of traditional blogging that involves short pieces of content that can be in the form of audio, text, or video. I think also TikTok is also a form of microblogging because you're making a short video, 20 seconds, someone can access and continue, you know, scrolling. There are so many microblogs on that platform. So people get addicted to microblogs. And an example is Twitter. We look at things like TikTok, YouTube took an advantage of microblogs because they realized most of their content was 8-minute videos, 5 minutes and above. So it's not easy for someone to keep scrolling through 8-minute videos all the time. It doesn't make sense. So what they did is they introduced microblogs. That's why they introduced YouTube Shorts. Like now they are introducing 30-second short videos and they keep people glued. So this is another form of social media addiction. Another one is online dating. Now we have things like Tinder. These are applications that have been introduced to keep you glued. The problematic use of online dating sites and application is what we basically refer to online dating addiction. People may prefer forming virtual relationships over mobile dating application, leading to isolation from family and friends, and it can also damage your personal relationships. This is a point whereby it's so easy for someone to be behind the screen to interact with a woman or a man, right? So it becomes difficult for these guys to actually be involved with real people and talk to them like, you know, like normal people are supposed to. So it's an addiction that people develop. It's easy. First of all, it's easy to find these people online. You're just scrolling and then you find, you know, the one that you want. So you are scrolling, talking to them doesn't require much effort because you are behind the screen. You don't have to look at them to read their facial expressions. You know, there's a thing that social media steals from us in terms of real connections that cannot be replaced no matter how much we improve or evolve this social media as a tool of human use. So those are some of the kinds of addictions that guys struggle with in terms of social media. And you can, as we have talked, you can identify one that you are probably struggling with and find a way of dealing with it. So I ask myself, what are some of the downsides of social media addiction? What are some of the downsides? Like, what are the negatives? So overusing social media has several drawbacks and downsides, right? So some of them are like the fact that it takes away empathy from people, lack of empathy. You realize that a person who struggles with social media addiction, they often choose to communicate through things like email, messaging, or social media rather than face-to-face communication. So the lack of face-to-face communication can impede a person's empathy, as feeling empathy is best learned through social situations. Empathy is that feeling of, it's not the same as sympathy. Empathy is understanding a scenario. But the fact that you become so used to living behind the screen that you can't take it away, you can't just draw it aside and interact with a person face to face. Your friend comes to you, is telling you about how they are struggling with this and this and that, but you are not used to human interaction, that face to face. It becomes so difficult for you to feel empathetic to that friend of yours. So that's the thing. That's the thing that it steals away from us. Another thing is the fact that it takes away, it makes it difficult for you to sleep. Difficulty in sleeping. So this is a thing probably we've all gone through, definitely. So excessive use of social media around bedtime, especially like screen time before bedtime. If you're accessing blue light before you get to bed, it's going to affect your sleep quality. The blue light emitted from mobile phones interfere with the brain's ability to prepare for sleep. There are times you get to bed and you can't sleep. You're like, let me just look through my phone kidogo and then I'll sleep. So that's the thing. It's going to take away that feeling, that concept of proper sleep. It's going to make your sleep cycle difficult. Then it also brings up the fear of missing out, FOMO. This is a thing we call FOMO, right? So social media is going to create, it creates deep envy of highlights of other people's lives. And it can result to feelings of missing out on something important that others may have at the moment. You see your friends are having a party somewhere, and you're like, hey, I need to be here because my friends are here. They are posting videos, you know, they are happy, they are showing you how they are having a good time, and then there's you in the house. So that feeling of missing out is created. So several social media addiction facts indicate that fear of missing out is heavily linked with greater social media usage. People who struggle with fear of missing out, they are people who are excessive users of social media. The more you use it, the less you are going to get interested in activities that you used to enjoy. Especially people who are used to physical activities, You used to be a marathoner, you liked jogging, but now you are into your phone. So whenever you see videos of guys jogging, your brain in a release so much dopamine in the same direction that you no longer feel the need to actually do whatever you are supposed to do in real life. Another scenario or another point of view is the fact that it takes so much time away from you that you don't have time to do activities that you used to do, especially if they were things that involved you getting out and being involved physically in those activities. Another thing is the fact that it brings conflict in real life relationships. So social media can affect the quality and expectations that a person has in real life situations. So leaning too much on it, on this mode of communication, is going to create a gap in real life communication, and it tends to weaken relationships. You guys are in a relationship, but you've been communicating online for the last, I don't know, 10 months. 10 months, right? And you've never met in person. It takes away that feeling of human connection. It makes your relationship difficult. It's going to make your life really difficult, by the way. So how do you know that you are struggling with social media addiction? That's the question. How do you know? So it's basically, if you realize you're spending so much time and energy on social media, my friend, maybe you need to unplug. Another major indicator is the fact that it's going to impact your individual life and personal relationship negatively. You're falling off with friends, family, you know, because you're spending too much time there. You start neglecting responsibilities and ignoring real life relationships. So those are some of the red flags. So the next question we are going to ask ourselves is, what are some of the negative effects of excessive social media use? And then after that, we're going to see how we're going to manage. Yes, it's something it's a big positive in our society. We can't ignore that. But using it excessively becomes a problem. So how do we regulate it? But before that, what are some of the effects? The number one is going to lead to things like anxiety and depression. People who are struggling with mental illnesses, they have been linked with over-reliance on social media. The lack of real and deeper connection with people offline can cause depressive symptoms. The superficial connections that are established on social media, they tend to be less emotionally satisfying. They are not as satisfying as real connections. So as a result, people who are addicted to social media do not get the benefit of healthy social interactions. I mean, a good example, we look at these kids who have been performing mass shootings in schools and stuff. Most of them are guys who spend so much time on social media, or they are playing video games 24/7. These video games are centered around, you know, violence. You lack empathy. You become like an animal to some degree. Actually, animals have some form of empathy to some point. So it also leads to increased isolation. As I said, this is an example of my bro a couple of years back. So you become isolated because you are going to spend less time interacting with people face to face, as it gives, you know, it doesn't give you the same satisfaction, and you don't have, you know, you can't hide a lot of things that you are hiding. You can't hide those things when you're interacting with a person face to face, but when you are on your social media, you're going to be isolated because you prefer being in that state. You're spending so much time there, you don't want these real-life connections. It also leads to decreased physical activity. This is something I mentioned before. Because you're going to spend so much time on social media and you feel like your neurotransmitters are rewarding you for a certain physical activity that you're seeing and you feel accomplished because you are looking at it. But you're not really doing it. So definitely, you are not going to be involved in physical activities as much. So it also leads to things like low self-esteem. Yeah? Because you're going to spend so much time comparing yourself with perfect images of people that have posted themselves online. So as a result, you're going to be worried about your body image, your financial status. You're like, hey, my friend is living the life. You know, you see him in a big car and he probably is in theirs. But the fact that you're seeing it, you feel like you're not doing enough. You're not looking good enough. You're not dressing good enough. You feel me? So it's going to lead to low self-esteem in your life. Another thing is the fact that it's going to lead to poor work and school performance. This is something we've said. Because, first of all, you're spending so much time. So it means like the time you're devoting to other activities is reduced. You're sleeping late because your screen time is excessively high. You're sleeping at 2 in the night, you know, 2 in the morning, 2 in the morning. That's as a friend of mine told me, 2 is in the morning. So you're sleeping so late because obviously the blue light you're accessing is too much for your brain. You can't function like a normal person. Your work is going to be hindered. Performance in school is also going to be affected. So regulating it is very, very, very crucial. So our next step is looking, how can you really decrease social media consumption? So there are several ways of doing this, and I'm going to list them. Number one is to move apps away from your home screen into one folder. You can look at these social media applications that you're overly using and decide, you know what, I'm going to isolate all these apps into one folder where I don't have to spend so much time looking at them. So keeping these apps away from the home screen is going to help tame the temptation to open apps first thing when you're using your phone. So definitely move them into one folder and then keep them away from your home screen. That is number one way of regulating it. Number two is tracking your online time. How do you do this? You have to implement time limits on social media usage, and it's going to help you to gain awareness of the impacts that online media has on your personal life. So being aware of where a large chunk of your time is being spent is going to help you to be mindful of how you're spending it. What do I mean by this? You see, your phone basically has an indicator of how much screen time you're using. It tells you how many hours you spent online, how many hours has your screen been on. So slowly, maybe if you're struggling with this addiction, you could note down, like, today's Monday, for example. At the end of the day, you see, how many hours have I spent? I spent 5 hours, 6 hours on my phone. My screen has been on. It means you've been somewhere online doing something. So Tuesday, you say, you make a very decisive choice of reducing this time. You say, on Tuesday, I'm going to challenge myself. I did 5 hours on Monday. Tomorrow, I'm going to reduce it by 30 minutes. I'm going to do 4 hours, 30 minutes. Tuesday, reduce it by another 30 minutes. So by the end of the week, you realize that you are slowly reducing your screen time. So the more you track your online time, the better it's going to become to manage how much time you're spending on social media. Another thing is, you need to turn off notification for social media accounts for some time. So turning off notification for very specific applications that you know you're getting addicted to, maybe it's TikTok, maybe it's Instagram, maybe you need to turn off notification for those accounts so that whenever it pops up, you don't have the need to get there and see what's happening. So it's going to improve your overall productivity, and it's going to reduce distractions. I remember there was a time I was into Instagram so much. So like every time I'd feel like my phone is vibrating or something just popped up, I'd be anticipating to see what is happening, who has responded to this or that. So it's going to help you to become more present for the people in your lives the less you reduce those notifications. So another thing is, you guys need to put your phones down before bedtime. This is a thing I usually practice. 2 hours before you sleep, just stay away from blue light. Maybe it's your TV, maybe it's your phone. Stay away from it. Just avoid it. Nighttime use of the phone can interrupt your sleep through the blue light emitted through electronics. We know that blue light is going to stimulate effects of the brain, which keeps one awake and disrupts sleep patterns. You understand me? So that's the thing. Before you sleep, 1 hour, 2 hours, just put your phone aside, do something else so that your brain is mentally prepared for sleep. There are times you have closed your eyes, but your brain is not sleeping yet. You're thinking of things, you know, you are not into that slumberland yet because you've been exposed to blue light immediately before you decided to sleep, you are online. So another thing you can do to regulate how much time you're spending online is to basically rediscover your offline life. You need to prioritize real life connections by finding new things to do either with your friends or your family. So doing something that will give much needed break from the screen can help you discover the benefits of offline life. Trust you me, your life offline is more fun than your life online. It can never be the same. Real life connections can never be replaced by the life online. You feel me? There's no possible way that you can think that dating someone online or meeting up someone online is better than actually going on an actual date and interacting with this person and learning a thing or two about human connection, learning on things like empathy, reading facial expression. It's not the same. This is a life outside your offline, your digital communication and digital life. So guys, let's do that. Another thing that can help us regulate how much time on reduce addiction is going on a digital detox. You can do this once a month. So one may also try to do a digital detox for a couple of days until you realize there's a decrease in social media addiction symptoms. So with proactive action and help from professionals, one may safely engage in a digital detox from social media platforms. You don't even need a professional at times. Digital detox is basically deciding, you know what, this week or this month, I'm going to reduce my screen time to like 1 hour a day or a few hours a day. Your phone is basically there for communication. You don't spend so much time on social media. You've gone on a digital detox. You can decide to even uninstall all those applications that you feel you're becoming heavily reliant on for communication. You're like, no, I need to take away Twitter, I need to take away Instagram for just a month and see how I'm going to be affected as a person. So you are detoxing. You feel me? So that's a thing you can do. So the last thing I'm going to talk about, there are the positive aspects of social media. Social media is it has so many pros. It has also their negative aspects. These are things we've talked about, all of this. But their treatment for social media addiction, this is quite advanced, but it's a thing. Maybe kuna msee ana feel like they have gone beyond the level and it has got to a point maybe they need professional assistance. So their treatment for social media addiction, you know, there are people who are addicted, so you may need therapy. So people who are addicted to social media may benefit from different treatment programs. And I'm going to mention the ones that I felt have been most successful to many guys. The reason why I'm talking about this is because this is an issue that is breaking families out there. It is a thing that people need to talk about, but people don't talk about it because we ignore the fact that people are actually addicted to their phones. There are people who are going through cognitive behavioral therapy. This is the most common treatment for problematic social media usage. So CTB, cognitive behavioral therapy, they call it CBT. CBT is a problem-solving approach to social media that aims to teach people methods of managing addictive behaviors that lead to compulsive social media use. Another approach that doctors are using is behavioral activation. So particularly effective if another mental health condition occurs alongside social media addiction. There are guys who are going through depression and then they are addicted to their phones. So behavioral activation is going to encourage these individuals to create a sense of meaning and increase pleasurable feelings and replace the unhelpful behaviors they engage in social media. These are some of the things that people are seeking there so they can repair their lives. Another one is dialectic behavior therapy. This is another way of treating social media addiction that focuses on changing a person's behavior and encouraging addicts to seek supportive environments that can make the journey to sobriety easier. Like, you can be so addicted that you're functioning like an alcoholic. The way an alcoholic wakes up in the morning and has to wanasema wacha niamke, ama, you know, those are the terms that Kenyans use, wacha niamke, yani wacha niraushe, ama wacha nitoe lock. So it functions the same way. You wake up in the morning, you're like, hey, let me go through Instagram. You're functioning like an alcoholic. So to get to your journey of sobriety and leaving this addiction aside, there are people who have been forced to go for dialectic behavioral therapy. Another one is family therapy. Family therapy, this is an ideal treatment option for someone whose social media obsession has started to affect the rest of the family. You find a dad that is so addicted to the phone that they don't have time for the kids. Isn't it real issues, Maze? These are things that people are struggling with, but we don't talk about them. So family therapy can help other family members empathize with what the addict is going through and to cope with the effects they are going through and how they can deal with it. Nonetheless, social media is something I definitely recognize as revolutionary. has changed the world for the better. It has made communication easier. But it has affected us to some degree as a generation. The next generation of fathers is definitely going to struggle with spending time with their kids. Like going for walks with their children. I mean, why should I go for a walk while I can spend some time, you know, going through Twitter and learning a thing or two? That's the whole idea. And that's the thing we are going to desensitize on. You know, guys, don't spend too much time on social media. Embrace your life outside the online environment. There's so much beauty out here. And that's why the current world, things like fitness are becoming very marketable. Like 20, 30 years ago, the fitness industry didn't have so much cash flow as it does right now, as it's going to have in years to come, because people are not into their phones. They wouldn't spend so much time on their phones and eating, overeating, you know, getting so much dopamine in doing non-physical activity. Well, that's why we are developing a generation of guys who are very unfit and lack social awareness. So if we decide as a generation, maybe it's time we, you know, hype down on how much social media we are consuming, we might save ourselves, we might save the next generation. So they are on their own journey, but this is ours. This is what we need to do. And that is it for today. I hope you've learned a thing or two. Definitely, you've learned a thing or two. So how you apply it is upon you, but I hope you apply it positively in your life and change and reduce social media addiction, because we are struggling with it. It's a thing we are struggling with so much. And the earlier we regulate it, the better. So be blessed. Have an amazing weekend. Make it productive. Maybe it's time you take that digital detox, you know, that social media detox. Do it this weekend. Try and do something outside your online space. Otherwise, be blessed and let's meet again next week.
Wahubah.